We're Matt and Jim, best friends forever. We've been friends for 30 years, and to celebrate our 30 years of friendship, we decided to start a podcast. Hi, I'm Jim, and I failed at a lot of things in life. Join me and my co-host Matt as we discuss what went wrong, and we speak to people who appear to have done those things right. Join us as we discuss how to fail at everything and still succeed.
A division of the Odorson Press Digital Media Company.
Yeah, we wanted to bring you stories about how I've failed at different things, whether it's relationships, business, money.
Overall life things that can come up and bite you and go wrong or turn out and go well the other way.
Yeah,
well, hopefully.
It's okay because I'm still here. I'm happy. I have a family.
Still the legend.
Business. That's right. So I feel like we have a lot to offer people.
I hope so. We can inspire some people. Maybe give some people some, just some hope for the future to say, hey, I'm going through some rough times, or I'm having some troubles with this, and maybe some of the stuff we talk about may help them along.
Yeah, because I think the main thing, the one thing that I've learned in life is just to have patience and plan. I'm a horrible
It's tough
planner.
To do. Yeah.
It's very well,
even the best laid plans can, if they don't, something goes wrong, it can just derail
That's
everything.
Right. So imagine doing something with no plan and jumping into something with no plan and no direction. So
we've all done. So
and I feel that all my experiences in the past, all my failures in the past are helping me today. And they're things that I can look back on. And during the moments, they really, really, really sucked. But right now I see how they've helped. And I've actually learned lessons.
Yeah.
And it's really, really weird for me to look back at the different scenarios I've been in.
Right.
And to realize, like, hey, it's actually, it was a good thing.
These bad scenarios actually turned out to help you along the way.
Yeah.
Bring you to where you are today.
Yeah, and to understand more about myself and my limits. And I know that I don't try hard enough in life. That was my biggest thing. I remember after we graduated high school, I remember talking to you about wishing we tried harder or participated more.
Yeah, watching the grades fall down through the year, and it's like, oh, I probably should have studied for those tests or those projects. Well, like you mentioned, too, not having a whole hour-long presentation ready. We still made it through that one.
We made it through and got a C-plus on it.
We squeaked through that one, so.
Yeah. So, I don't know where do we begin.
Well, who are you? What's your name?
So my name's Jim Haladish. I was born in Brantford. I always have a hard time saying Brantford.
Brantford.
Do you pronounce it Brant?
Brantford.
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 People from Brantford say it's Brantford.
Brantford.
But it's Brantford. So, anyways, that's one of my anxieties in life is saying the
certain words.
City that I'm from. Yeah.
Well, people always think it's Brampton or other ones. Yeah.
So, I'm Jim. I'm a father of two beautiful girls. Just got a dog. I got a cat. Have a common-law spouse. My partner, Lauren, she's pretty awesome because she is probably the only person I've been with that just kind of accepts me and
she's
trust
been through
me
a lot of these failures
yeah
to speak about, I guess.
Yeah And when I say failures, I don't think they were horrible. I look at them more as missed opportunities
for sure.
So
it's not just not quite being prepared for things or planning well enough
just not planning. And if I had planned them, I think I would be in a way different place right now.
Who knows what kind of path, like if you had done something a certain way years ago, you could have been doing something completely different now. And
I guess Randy Bobandy Ryan always says the best time to plant a tree was yesterday, the next best time is today. So might as well plant a tree, start a podcast with
he
your
also
best
taught
buddy.
Me to just drive into traffic. So they stop. They were not going to hit your car.
Yeah, he might not.
If you're having trouble getting out.
Yeah,
just,
so.
I wouldn't advise anybody to really practice that, but it does work.
Yeah.
Because they stopped for his big truck that one time. So just slowly into traffic, not into, you know, but.
Yeah. So our whole idea, like, so do we talk more? Yeah. So what this is, we kind of said who we are. Who are you?
My name's Matt Outerson. Yeah. They call me Uncle Snatch. And I'm currently, we're here in the Dusty Dungeon in Paris, Ontario. And Dusty Dad's, we do practice down here. I was born in Brantford. And I met Jim in grade 3. Mm-hmm. Would have been around 1991 there. So we are definitely coming up on 30 years of friendship. And I've had plenty of, you know, of my own jobs and things that have kind of gone right and things that have kind of gone wrong. And as you say, just, you know, you get the, it all shapes you in the end, right? So mm-hmm. I've got 3 little girls, keep me busy, twins and an older one. So just a singlet there. So we've moved too many times in the last couple of years, and it's definitely making life a bit more stressful than I'd like. But just here to kind of add my own little stories here once in a while, and kind of ask some questions, and you know, we'll keep this guiding going along there.
I like it. So we're hoping, so back in high school, Matt and I used to write a newsletter and mail it out to our friends, just a comedy newsletter called the Outerson Press. So we're hoping to maybe do a few sketches to throw into the show and have some silly
made-up
commercials, get back to our creative side. You're super creative because you made the intro music. You do, like, you're a musician. You've taught me how to play music, and I still don't know how to play. So it was weird the other day. You sent me the post saying that we've been a band for 7 years. I can't really use the, like, oh, I've just started out.
You've been a bass player for over 7 years.
Yeah. And I've been relying on, like, oh, I'm new at this. And I'm like, I better learn where the notes are.
You'll figure it out.
And that's just,
Miles has been a better teacher than I have. I would say that much, but
yeah, but
I got you going. I
think the whole thing of me, like, one of my ideas was to talk about failing at music.
Yeah.
And, not that it, like, I think I do okay for the songs that I've learned and what you guys have taught me, but again,
we rocked the creamery a couple weeks ago.
So. Yeah. Rocking the creamery is one of my favorite things to do with
it's
you guys.
A great spot, for sure.
It was such a great night, but, that's just another example at something that I've failed at in life. I've had 7 years to grow and
just
expand.
The planning stage of that. The practicing, I guess, or it's like, and it's, you know, I get it. I don't practice as much on my own as I should, but I mean, I did that.
Yeah.
Like Ryan says, I planted that tree years ago, and that's, you know, that's where.
Yeah, it was kind of late getting into it.
But hey, you've done well for, I think we've been pretty successful with, the 7 years.
We get paid to play, so.
We have fun doing
there's
it.
Nothing. Yeah.
We've been able to play with Kimbo and Miles and.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I love that. So
and people seem to enjoy us. Yeah. So
they tell us they had a great time.
That's the main thing. But yeah, you can edit all this stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything in there that's
okay. So we talked about the who, the what, where we are,
why
we're doing this, and I guess that kind of is the what we're doing, but why we're doing it, just
to make money.
To make money, obviously, we're looking for sponsors of the show. I'm sure
we'll just funnel that through our
I this is a lot harder than I thought it would be, and I've put more work into
this
than I have. So
for
other things that I've just done and jumped off a ship. So we want to hopefully have some guests, and eventually when I open up the cafe in Paris, hopefully we'll have a podcasting location that we can do after hours.
That'd
and
be great.
Go live and show people.
Do some filming and stuff, and do a live show and also release the podcast. So we do have some high hopes, and hope people are listening and they'll get some stuff out of this. So
So what do you want to talk about first? Should we tell a story? Should we
Maybe we went, like, you could always go back. like when you were a kid, what did you want to be?
Yeah.
Like how did you know, like when you started out, like when you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah. When I grew up,
I mean, we're still waiting to grow up.
Yeah. But. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a police officer because I thought police officers help people.
Yeah.
So I've always had this drive to like help people. I just wanted to do things. And
you've always been out there for charity and, doing the big run and the bike ride and all that different things and the walk, and you're always willing to help people out too. So
and that's the one thing that I've learned in life is that if you can do anything that's good for yourself personally,
right,
and if it benefits other people,
yeah,
and if it can somehow benefit you professionally, like it's a win-win-win situation, and just there's nothing wrong out, and lately, I don't know, it's kind of weird because we're always watching other coffee companies like through Altitude, and we're watching other companies do things, and it's kind of similar to what we're doing, and it's like, are they copying us? Right. Is that, like, but it's,
did they do this first?
Who did this? So it's basically my goal with Altitude is to make it this really great company that's profitable, that gives back to the community and takes care of the environment and does good things, but it's also benefiting me. Like I want it, like we're in it to make money, but also we realize with some of that money that we can improve the community. Yeah.
Where you can help out. But and obviously helping out does bring attention to you guys, but in a positive way.
Yeah.
It's not like you're out there like, oh, look at us. Look at us. But you still want to help people out.
Can we promote friends and can we promote other businesses? Exactly. And then can we all succeed, and can we give a good product to people at a fair price?
Right.
And
I
don't see it.
No,
I want to just today I was talking about doing something in Paris when we opened the cafe, going down to Lions Park and using that amphitheater. Immediately I thought of you guys.
Get some like live show down there or something.
Let's coffee bring music fest. Back to that park.
Yeah.
We'll bring our coffee, our mobile coffee system or whatever we have, or just tell people to walk back to our cafe. I don't know. Whatever.
It'd be cool to get that park rented out though.
But it would be cool. Like I have all these grand dreams of like doing big things. Yeah. And I feel like I'm at the point right now where I know what I have to do to succeed. Like I've done enough things kind of poorly or like just half-assed.
We've always had a lot of those big ideas to put on like a music show or like a charity event.
Remember the Halloween party, the one that we did that and was insane?
It was insane.
And we've never done it since.
Right. Even though we made so much money and like we did so well and like everybody had fun except for that one girl who threw cookies at us or whatever. But... yeah, and even that wasn't
because
planned
she didn't
that well.
Win the costume contest. Yeah. I think.
And
it wasn't planned, and we learned from it, and we know the mistake. We can list the mistakes still, probably 15 years later.
Totally. Yeah,
and we've just kind of not.
We've never done it again.
So we failed it. Yeah. We were good. We were promoters, just like my T-shirt business. Right. Remember? I forgot about that. That's another business that
could have worked. T-shirts for the golden ticket and the profit pocket was the same as the bar tab pocket. And
years ago, I was a big fanboy of a local band called the Golden Ticket, and it had all my friends in it.
Yeah.
And I had a little bit of cash, so I wanted to front the money for T-shirts for them, and I handled T-shirt sales, and I did really well. But what I did was
people still wear those shirts.
There's still a lot of people that still wear them, and I used to bring the shirts to all your shows. And I would have a float, so because I think I charged like $20 a shirt.
Yeah, I think that was $20
or like it was like 18 or something. I needed a float for some reason. It wasn't like even money.
No.
And I had my drinking money in one pocket and my shirt money in the other pocket. Right. But by the end of the night, it was all drinking money. And
all that money was gone.
So like I couldn't reinvest in my business, a very good business. And at the time we were connected to other bands.
And like at that time, shirts like for a local band like that weren't
it wasn't as accessible as it is today. Well, I mean, with like Dave Dodds and Fat Dave.
FatDave.ca
if you want to sponsor us.
Fat Dave.
If you want a commercial.
Chat with Fat Dave about how things are going too. Some point, see if he come on. But yeah, like using him has been great. But at that time, it was just like we had to figure out what kind of stuff to send the t-shirt company, find a t-shirt company, and then pay this, you know, huge amount of overhead and hope these shirts sell.
Yeah.
And then they sold like crazy.
Yeah.
And then
we thought about, remember, we were going to set the press up in your basement. You're going to let me buy that printer.
And then
the screen printer.
That's right.
And
you could have been Fat Jim.
Fat Jim. Yeah. Fat Jim. Now I'm just Fat Jim.
Now you're just regular
with
old
no
Fat
t-shirt business. So
you got a coffee business though.
Yeah.
So that's good.
So
yeah.
Yeah, well, how did we get on that?
I don't even remember now.
Yeah,
but,
we'll have to...
Here, let's go back then. So you wanted to be a cop when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
So how far did you get with that then?
I went to college.
Yeah, Police Foundations.
Foundations at Mohawk College in Brantford.
Which is where you met Ryan.
Where I met Ryan.
Yeah.
And I just kind of... I made it to different interviews, and I graduated. I had my Ontario Police Chief's certificate, where you have to go and you have to do all this testing, like aptitude testing and physical training and whatnot.
I remember that too, yeah.
And so I got that my first year of college. I went early to get it, and I got it, and I could have applied. I applied at a few places.
Right.
And just never really followed through.
I remember Ryan, he got through. He kind of had a few job interviews.
Yeah, he had a couple job interviews. And
it
just
was
kinda,
tough, I remember.
Yeah. Super tough and like super,
sort of like
we're almost too honest.
Yeah.
His story.
Ryan was a little too honest.
He was asked to tell a bad joke. So he told the worst joke he knew and he was asked to leave immediately.
Yeah, it was basically just like,
so it was like, but why would you ask that question? Yeah. Like,
you want me to lie to you and say, oh, I don't
know
any. I don't
know
that.
I've never heard anything.
Even though that guy was probably using that joke later on in the day.
Yeah, I guarantee you he went and told his friends. it was a really, really, silly joke. Like, just nothing horrible. It was just...
No, it was, you know, a little maybe poor taste for some, you know, but like it's still, I don't know, when you get asked to do that by a higher up.
Yeah,
like that.
So I kind of fell out of love of that, and then I was like kind of lost. Like my job in high school working at Grand and Toy,
I
loved. I
thought that was going to be your life.
I thought I
career.
Was going to be the manager there, but I failed because I used to sleep in the stock room and drink beers in the stock room with you and Charlie or whatever.
Totally.
But so that was like one of my first jobs, customer service jobs. And I really enjoyed like just helping
people.
That's
another way of helping people, right?
And we had products that people needed.
Yeah.
So there was something there that people needed. Mm-hmm. And I was like the salesperson. And I love the idea of sales, solving problems for people and helping them.
Yeah, take your concerns or complaints.
Hey, how can I help you today? That was my...
What do you need?
I love
doing
that.
I bought my first cell phone there, actually, and however many years ago that was.
Yeah, Nokia 3100.
Is that a flip phone?
No,
that was a little flat
one with snake on it.
It's a good phone. Probably still somewhere out
probably
there.
Probably works,
dumpster,
too.
Yeah.
So, but wanting to be a police officer, always wanting to help people, and then...
Sort of taking the good side of the police officer role, like helping and being there to like assist.
And I learned, too, it wasn't so much... It's just I wouldn't be able to deal with the people that the police officers deal with too. That was another thing.
Right.
Not just the like, oh, they wanted me to say this and that. Like a lot of it was on me. I couldn't.
Yeah, there's dealing with like bad customers in retail, but then dealing with somebody with a gun or
a drug dealer
or something crazy. Like
90% of a police officer's day is probably dealing with people that don't want to deal with the police.
They don't want the cops there.
Yeah.
And you're there.
So
and they're angry about it.
I couldn't do that job.
No.
I'm just not that type of person to be able to do
that. Conflict resolution sort of side of things. It's never the easiest.
I try
to avoid conflict when I can, but you know, obviously we all end up in that sometime sooner or later, but
I kind of fell out of love of that for various reasons.
Yeah,
and I just knew that it wasn't right for me and I couldn't see myself doing that. So after that, I worked at Toyota for a few years and
right.
hated that.
I think that was where the funds came from, the t-shirt business
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so yeah. I was working at Toyota. I was making decent money and spending it all because I was unhappy.
Yeah, we spent some time in the casino during those. You were funding your friends. And
So like, you know, gambling away the money that I hated making with hopes of winning something instead of planning this t-shirt business, right?
Or like I had investing it in a certain way, investing buying properties or...
There's
the planning wasn't there.
So there was a fail there. I could have... Yeah. I got in there, I think I was like maybe 21.
Yeah. And you did a couple summers there as a student?
I did 2 summers as a student. And then after college, I applied and got the job full time.
Yeah.
And I spent like 2 more years there and I got a full-time contract. And the minute I got that, I took my paid vacation for like a week and came back and just like drove there, got to the parking lot. And I'm like, I fucking hate this.
Yeah, not doing this.
I'm not doing this. And I just left. Yeah. And I just like, it doesn't matter. There's always someone to fill in your spot. Like it, totally. I wasn't putting anyone down. I wasn't leaving the team down. Like we, So I ended up calling my boss to say, "Hey, I'm out in the parking lot."
Yeah.
And I used to drive to work.
Right.
And think about ways that I could crash my car.
Like just to get out of work.
I didn't want to hurt myself.
No, but like but my
I'm
car's
like,
wrecked.
Oh, if I like got in a minor car accident or
something weird.
There was a guy that like ended up in a ditch. He was totally fine, but I was so jealous of the guy.
Just like, oh man.
And
that
like,
me.
It's like, that's a horrible way to think.
No,
right?
You don't want to be going into work.
So I was just like, okay, like that's, I had enough like sense in me to realize like, hey, this isn't working.
Yeah.
But that's just another thing that I feel like I failed at because I didn't take the opportunity I had there to, I didn't plan my, my departure,
the exit strategy.
I didn't have an exit strategy. I ended up because of my, like being young and dumb and getting like a $5,000 credit card in college.
Right.
I had really bad credit.
Right.
So like, I just thought I bought that Sunfire and it was like $16,000. So I failed at buying a car.
That was a rough,
because I bought a 1998 Pontiac Sunfire two-door sedan, and I paid something like 17% interest
because
my
credit
was
bad.
Instead of like planning my one car, the Dirty Bird, my car that I bought and paid for, a 92
Sunbird. Yeah, the Sunbird.
Yeah, the 5-speed that I didn't know how to drive when I got.
Right.
But anyways, I had bought that and the brakes went. And I'm like, I work at Toyota. I deserve a good car. Like, I always wanted that Nissan Frontier.
Remember
that red?
I remember shopping for the
And
the
we're like, hey,
set.
I could buy this. Yeah. It's only 15 grand
for
a truck.
For a new truck. Yeah.
And I was making $30 an hour.
Yeah,
and
you could have done all of that.
Couldn't
stuff.
Budget it.
Yeah.
I think my rent was like $395. I lived at George Street.
That was on George
Street.
Yeah,
okay. Club 112. So shout out 112.
Yeah. That's when you and Ryan were living there.
Yeah,
where
just,
was Ryan working at that point? He was
Frito-Lay.
He was at Lay's.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Frito-Lay's, bringing home the chips. And
bringing
was,
home the chip, the bacon chips.
So, yeah, basically left there and kind of had nowhere to go. Ryan gave me a job in flooring,
I
had no idea what I was doing. And
you did pretty well with flooring, though. I mean, you did gain some... got some.
I've learned a few skills, but Ryan will tell you, and he's not shy. He's a horrible teacher at that, too. So
it's like me with playing with bass.
Yeah, so maybe I just need better teachers.
You might,
than
you
I
want to surround
succeeded.
Yourself with some, some better people.
Surround yourself with better teachers.
Like I say, Miles, it's funny watching him because he was, you know, he's always there kind of like, here, look at me and I'll help you through it. I'm just sort of swearing at you. And so,
but then he's left-handed too, so everything's backwards.
Everything's
so I'm like, hey, I don't know.
Doing.
Just, I'll get it. Just, but,
just leave it with me.
Yeah. Yeah. After Toyota, I was just kind of like,
it's floated around.
Just
kind of
law. And, it was actually Alyssa contacted me. Alyssa
Trammer. Damaschke now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Alyssa.
Yeah.
Thanks for buying some coffee last week.
Hey. anyway, of our older friend,
One of our old friends.
Yeah, we had many good times.
Worked with her at Grand and Toy, had a lot of parties.
Yeah.
Anyways, she contacted me and she told me about a children's center, Lansdowne. Right? So I go into Lansdowne.
Was she working there or she just
Was one of her friends or something worked there, her cousin or something.
I just remember what it was.
Her cousins were in like human services.
Okay.
So she's like, hey, you should apply there because I had asked her. I think she was working at Big Lots at the time or something.
And
I was like, hey, do you have any ideas? And she's like, well, no one's hiring here, but you know, why don't you try this? Like it's with kids and at that point, so Lansdowne Children's Center is a child development center. So children that are born with like disabilities or like mental health problems or whatnot. I never know what to say because I always want to be respectful.
Yeah, for sure.
But it is what it is. Like, it's a.
Yeah.
And anyways.
Is that for like respite care or is it more just
It was respite, like working at summer camps and that.
Yeah.
So, and working one on one. So it was like a
sort of
the child and youth worker kind of.
Okay.
So
I
went in and I'll never forget my interview because I walked in and like, so I was a guy that spent all my money on gambling and drinking. And
expensive,
left my job that paid, and then a really, really expensive Sunfire.
Yeah.
And
somebody carved their name.
I just remember I walked in and I had like jeans and like just the nicest sweater that I could find that wasn't dirty.
It was one of my old ones, maybe.
Yeah, probably that didn't fit me. And, you know, and so, anyways, I walked in and there was a guy sitting beside me. Applying for the same job in a suit and tie. And
he had
just
the whole
like,
get up and he was
God. So I went in and like talked to the people. It was like super informal. Like I overthought it way too much and didn't put any planning into it. And I think I was probably out drinking the night before. Right. like so
it was probably a gig the night
like
before
no effort.
The band, yeah.
And anyways, I went in and just kind of told them and I'm like, well, I told them my story about what I was doing, what my background was as far as like schooling, which is like had nothing to do with mental health stuff or anything. We learned a little bit about like psychology and sociology and that. And I just basically, they asked a lot of questions about how I would react. Like, I guess like
sort of situational, like what would you do if this happened or that?
Yeah.
Happened?
So I basically just talked to them and then I told them, I'm like, well, I have nothing to do. So if I don't get the job, can I volunteer here?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I left it. Like they asked if I had any questions and that was the initiative. I knew that I needed to make a change.
Yeah.
So I did that. And so Lansdowne got back to me pretty quickly. Like I'll never forget it. And that's why I always try to support them.
Yeah.
Is they just kind of gave me the chance.
Yeah, I was always impressed that you went in there without like a child and youth worker sort of like background or deployment.
Yeah.
I mean, you've always been good with kids. And I remember, you know, just even watching with my kids too. It's always like, wow, and your own kids for that matter and everybody. Like you're always, I don't know, you're always there to, you're always, they always love hanging out with you. And just, you know, hanging out with Uncle Jim kind of.
I'm hoping like it's gotten harder as I get older and like other stresses in life.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely hard. Having your own kids,
parental
it's a lot different.
Stress is a
like, I got a lot of work to do, but I really appreciate having kids and like seeing my friends' kids. It's like a whole other universe.
Yeah.
Like seeing all these humans, like we were them.
Yeah, I know,
and that's what blows me away.
Clara
so.
Is gonna be 8 this year.
Yeah,
which is when that's how old we would have been.
When we met. Yeah.
And I just think... Like,
I feel like I'm the same person.
Yeah. So like, it's a weird...
I just have
think.
Way more responsibility. Like,
like I'm taking
mortgage.
Care of somebody that is 8 and...
Yeah.
Know, like
yeah.
That, be 8 and 2 5-year-olds. And it's just like, it's a weird... It's a very strange to kind of like take that in and think, wow, like we were that size once together. And then now
we both
have these other kids that are, you know...
That
like,
age. Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. It's insane. Like it's insane. And that place, like working at Lansdowne taught me a lot about like having patience for people and just accepting people.
And I mean, it still goes in the flow with like wanting to help people.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I mean, you're just, you know, you're there to help the parents and the kids and you know, just yeah, to kind of yeah, make those and, programs and, work.
And one, I don't know if every parent feels this way, but most parents with children with disabilities just want their kids to be treated like any other kid.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would take the kids out. I remember I took a boy while he was a teenager and he was hard of seeing. I'd okay. let him drive a go-kart. Like I,
yeah.
we went to a go-kart track. Yeah. I sat in the cart with him,
right,
but
yeah, yeah. You were
we told
guiding.
The attendant, like the 14-year-old kid, I'm yeah. like, oh, he can drive.
He's fine.
And I let him drive and that guy lost it. And
he
his parents
so
were so
yeah.
happy. Like I would never let him drive on his own.
That's a controlled like
that was,
the track.
That
and,
was
yeah,
a go-kart.
Yeah, not,
like,
yeah,
what
that's
the
not going to cause any yeah. major. That, and I love yeah. that because like that kid probably was over the moon just like, oh my, like I'm driving right now.
Yeah.
And like this, I never thought I'd be able to do this
yeah.
or whatever. And
yeah. Like cool. I wouldn't encourage like anything more than that, but it's
yeah.
like every kid his age was there. There was tons of kids
yeah,
there
yeah. And like,
crashing
yeah.
the go-kart
yeah.
too.
Just,
so it's
yeah.
like.
And even like when we were kids, I mean, that was, you know,
yeah.
now I get to drive a car. Like, let's
yeah.
go do this. How much
yeah.
does it cost? You know,
yep.
like three so, laps for $5 over at Earl
So,
Hague.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I learned a lot there, like, as far as like just how just to accept people for who they are
yep.
and
treat everybody and with respect and
just
like the same.
No matter who they are, where
sure.
they're from, or because you don't know, like, what
yeah. you have no
where
idea.
They're coming from. You don't know their situation. I've been in homes where like families are dealing with, so many things like the stresses that we have
right.
and then they have
yeah.
stresses of their like, children's health
right
too
yeah.
so I can't even imagine like
right. the,
no, the
stuff
feeling
that,
that
go
they
through.
Have yeah,
yeah.
so
well, even having like a kid go through like you know cancer type things or any other sort of diseases and stuff where like you know thankfully like we haven't had to you know
yep.
deal with any of
yep.
that stuff but I mean just being a parent and then
yeah.
like realizing you have to, you know, everything's changed
yeah.
and
yeah.
I just can't even imagine.
Puts,
so
it puts so
people.
Much into perspective and,
oh, yeah.
and like it makes you appreciate what you have.
Definitely.
And I find when I get in, like when I spend too much time not doing anything or not
right.
helping people,
yeah.
I lose that appreciation of what I have
what?
Because
yeah. Yeah.
I have a really good life. It's
yeah.
easy to say, oh, I have a shitty life
yeah.
and like, oh, I'm not
yeah.
not a millionaire.
It's
I'm
not
driving
my
a,
way and like it sucks
yeah.
right now.
Or like,
born.
Oh, COVID.
Yeah.
Like COVID's
yeah.
fucked everyone.
Everybody.
And like
yeah.
it's driving me nuts
in
and
different
it's
ways
and lingering
like,
on and
yeah.
I'm like, oh, we probably got another year, two years of this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like it's gonna linger until
yeah.
everything gets figured out and
yeah.
we get like
hopefully like sooner, but I mean it,
yeah.
who knows how long this
but
is
it's
gonna...
like, oh, I gotta like things are opening now, so that's better. But like,
yeah,
I just, it's so easy to lose the appreciation. Just like,
yep.
hey, we woke up like today. I woke up and I'm like, I woke up today.
Yeah.
Wow. Like
that's a good start to a day.
It's a great. And that's
yeah.
the way that I looked at it. Like, I'm
yeah.
I'm like, wow, I woke up today. So yeah, just working at Lansdowne led to other opportunities.
I feel like Lansdowne was a real game changer for you because it did sort of like it felt like a turning point where all of a sudden like you completely switched gears
yeah
and you know like Lansdowne led
yeah
to,
I could have had a
names,
career there like I
yeah.
got a pretty good job there that I dicked around like I
yeah.
didn't
I
do the
yeah.
work I didn't get along with the people there
right.
and instead of dealing with the people
yeah
and like communicating with them and
switch
and
your position or something to something a little more.
Yeah. I got a really good job there.
Yeah.
And,
again, without that background of having,
I worked with a lot of people that had to have university to do the job
yes.
and I was doing it and I was fully qualified and I had my,
mm-hmm.
I was tested. Like I had all the certification that you needed
everything
to be a practitioner of it.
Yeah.
I just didn't have the college
was, yeah,
diploma. It wasn't for that
right.
behavioral therapy. It was just
right.
like law
yeah.
and security. I ended
oh.
up streaming into law and security to hang
right.
out with Ryan because
yeah,
that's what he was doing. I'm like, oh, you're my
yeah.
best buddy. I'm going to hang out with
yeah,
you.
Right.
It's the same thing. If
right.
I want to be a cop, school doesn't matter. So
yeah,
right. Yeah, my... Yeah, I started a police foundation and went to law and security because I didn't really care. Like,
yeah.
maybe if I stayed in the police foundation stream, it might have been.
It
wouldn't
changed.
Have been.
No,
it wouldn't
yeah.
have been because
well,
it was
again,
the same
like, you know,
thing.
That making that decision did obviously alter the course, you know, not to be too like, oh, destiny and all this.
Yeah.
But like it did alter the course of how things went from that point on. And you and Ryan became close. And
yeah.
You know, now look, I mean, you guys run a success, like, you know,
yeah,
you know, the coffee business, and
yep,
you guys are, you know,
so. Hopefully, yeah, yeah, we're growing, but yeah, Lansdowne, I got the job as a behavioral therapist.
Yep.
And I worked, so I was 24, maybe 25, and I worked with a bunch of girls my age. So
right.
There's a lot of tension there. There's
yeah.
Like, you know, one guy and
yeah.
12 girls who all went to school for the job.
Yeah, they went, they put in that extra.
Yeah. And yeah. I just came in, and that was, I kind of got the job after the bike ride that I did when I rode out to Halifax and I raised
yeah.
money. Like
yeah.
you helped me so much with that. That was
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, Matt,
that was
an
before apps, before yeah. cell phones were really a thing.
Oh yeah. It was interesting.
We were texting on MSN Messenger every time I got a lot. You had printed out MapQuest
yeah.
maps for me
yeah.
for segments. We'd have like 100-kilometer
right. yeah.
trip segments
just,
done.
Yeah. yeah, just to
so,
go and make your way out east and.
Yeah. I feel like remember how I was talking before, like if you can do something that's good for yourself
yep.
and the community
right.
and professionally,
yeah,
you can't lose. And
yeah.
with that, I remember I had the greatest time riding the bike.
Yeah.
It was a great experience.
Totally.
It was good for Lansdowne because I think we raised over $10,000.
Yeah, that was huge money.
And it was good for me professionally because it helped me get
yeah.
that other job.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
so
like that's a big commitment to drive. How many kilometers was that?
Like 1300,
yeah,
1100.
Like it was a huge 1200 kilometers just for like.
And I mean, you guys helped me out.
Yeah.
When you picked
Josh
me up,
and
I got a lot of Josh and Matt.
Yeah.
Shitty
Butch. And
yeah. Shitty Butch. and Matt surprised me. You guys showed up
in Vermont
and I wasn't at the scheduled stop.
Yeah. South Hero, Vermont.
And then I got lost and I couldn't contact you on MSN Messenger.
Yeah.
And then you guys just met me on the highway somewhere.
We wanted to surprise you so bad. And then we got to the campground and the guy's like, there was a guy on a bike like an hour ago, but he just kept on going. We're like, oh man, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, what are the odds of that?
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. So like that behavioral therapist job is another example of something I failed at because I put the work in and I went every day and I did
yep.
the job and I did what I was supposed to do.
Right, yeah.
But there's so much more to a career than just going there
yeah.
and doing what you're told.
Yeah,
like you have to interact with people and
yeah,
I don't do well. Yeah, yeah. So my
yeah.
one supervisor, she didn't like me. I didn't like her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was my age too, so
right.
like I think we all had a lot of growing to do, and
yeah.
I didn't
just
handle
heads
it.
Over
and
certain things
yeah, we butted heads,
yeah.
and she called me out for doing a bad job, and
yeah.
I just did the job the wrong way, but
right.
I got the job done.
But it was still done,
and
yeah.
it just made me mad, so I left.
Yeah,
I just walked away instead of dealing with and communicating and
resolving an issue yeah.
and talking and
yep.
and saying, hey, I don't like the way that I don't like the way that things were, and I you guys made me feel really bad.
Yeah.
And here's why. And then maybe she would have had the opportunity to be like, oh,
yeah.
we didn't mean to.
Yeah.
So
they could have explained their side a little differently and you could explain your side a little differently.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So I left a really good job there, and
yeah.
like there's so many wonderful job. At one point I thought that I wanted to go back to school for behavioral therapy
yeah.
because I wanted to go and actually help train people, like go into school.
Okay.
I thought of a business
yeah.
that I could do where I could go into schools and help out, like just
right.
as like a consultant or something, like going around doing that. There's so many like things that you can do with like the applied behavior sciences stuff. So but yeah, I just left that. So that's another failure. Like that would have altered everything too.
Yeah,
and
yeah, taking you down another
you wouldn't be where you are. Everyone says, oh, you won't be where you are unless like you've made the choices that you did. But it's
right.
like, well, you might be like you.
Oh,
you,
yeah, that's certainly true.
Like now you're like, oh, because you're married and you have kids. You don't want to ever say like, what if I did this?
Yeah.
But
right.
What if you did?
Yeah.
You might still end up like.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely certain things.
What if you ended up with the same wife and the same kids?
Right.
And just a different.
Just a different job or like
yeah.
a quote unquote better job or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, yeah, it was like. I'm just thinking of this. I heard it on another podcast about like dedication, or discipline.
Right.
Some people say like hard workers, like people that do a job that they love are disciplined, but it's like, no, they're doing a job they love.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if like they have to put 12 or 14 hours in.
Right.
Discipline's when you wake up at 5 a.m. to go for a five kilometer run. And then do your regular day, right? Like that's doing something you hate.
Yeah. And like, pushing yourself through something. So, like a bad, or not a bad thing, but like.
Yeah. I've just never been disciplined enough to push through like the bad. I always walk away.
Yeah. It gets from tough stuff. And, then
and that's a failure. Yeah. Going. It's like, well, I'll just go and do something else. Like, I'm not worried. Like, right. what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, I have no money for a little bit. Like,
yeah. I mean, at that point in your life, too, you'd already, you know, you've been able to like fall out of something and then fall into something else.
Yeah.
And you fall into that.
Just go somewhere else. Yeah, and like, you know. I've built cars and sold pens. And right. at that point, I worked at Wendy's.
Yeah. Sold, I remember that.
Sold pens.
Yeah. You know,
built cars, worked as a child therapist, like an autism intervention therapist.
Yeah.
And then like, so it's like, I just never worried. Like, I'm like, well, there's work out there.
Yeah.
Like I want to work. And
it's like a matter of finding that, like, okay, where's that sweet spot where it's like, this is that, like you mentioned there, where it's like, this is like a job you love. So it's going to be something you're like, I want to go here every day. And, you know, it's not like that discipline, like you said, like, where it's like, this is just, you know, you already love the job. So it doesn't.
So
guys like Bag,
he's disciplined.
Yeah. How long has he been at Toyota?
Oh, like 12 years now.
Yeah.
He goes every single day.
Yep.
Overtime. Still does all his dad duties. Like I see him at the park all the time when I'm going out somewhere. He's at the park with the kids.
Yeah.
You know,
playing the shows and stuff.
Doing his shows and everything. That's discipline, right? Like he's doing something he hates every day just because he has to get the work done.
Yeah,
so
and he's kind of made his way up to, I think he's a team leader.
Yeah,
there
he's a team leader.
Yeah,
so
he's done really well. Yep. And like you say, it's, you know, you hear all those horror stories, and if you want to call them horror stories about, you know, like people, you know, they work there, it's good money, but they don't necessarily want to stay there forever kind of a thing. And but if you stick it out, even Charlie's been there for.
Yeah. Charlie's been there a long time too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And Charlie's got a different job. He's kind of like,
it's a little different, but
that's like grand and toy.
Right.
For him, like he's probably got hiding spots for the plant. He's not online, so I think that whole idea of being on an assembly line is what hurts people. Right?
Yeah, you know, like that's just back, you know, back.
It's just doing the same.
Like
repetitive.
Yeah,
back breaking.
Remember Tyler had a trigger finger at one
point. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He's had surgeries and everything. Yeah,
so
that's discipline, right?
Yeah.
He's still going there. Where. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't like it.
Let's
and I don't
next.
Need to, I always thought too, like, I have nothing to lose by leaving. Like, now's the time to make a change because like I don't have a mortgage. I lived in my car for a bit, but I got a shitty car, but like I had no debt. Like I had no money, but I also had like no debt.
Yeah. You're in like,
I just had a,
that way,
right? So it was like, now's the time to make the change.
Yeah.
Like, if I stay here longer,
right,
my credit's going to improve and I'm going to be able to get a mortgage.
Right.
And then it makes it harder to make a change and to do something. So, like I wasn't, there's a lot of things that I did wrong with Lansdowne where I failed, like just as far as like, personal development. I remember I went to a conference, like a work conference on like child development, and it was like an overnight sort of thing.
Okay, yeah.
And I remember
in Cambridge or something, or no? That
no,
was
it was in Toronto. It was like in North York, and I remember speaking with Jake Nakota. Dr. Jake the Snake. Get the breaking stick out. I talked to him and I'm like, hey man, I'm going on a work conference.
Right.
Like, do people party at these things? And he's like, oh yeah, all the time. But he's a university like scientist grad. Like, I don't know. He is a research guy. So those guys, you know, cut loose or whatever when they go out there. So I remember I bought Jägermeister and I bought shot glasses for everyone. And
prepared for the party that wasn't gonna happen.
I bought everyone drinks at the, yeah. And I ended up in the hallway drinking with like a 48-year-old coworker, getting yelled at by, so anyways, yeah. I
didn't go as planned.
Stupid story. Yeah.
I like it.
So I think that didn't really help with my, my relationship development with my coworkers. Right. I distinctly remember drinking like one of those Irish car bombs or something being like, "Woo, this is my application for friendship." Right. And like just losing my mind, like just trying to party and being like, well,
sounds
people,
like Jake Nakota's fault to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's blame this one. Yeah. Let's blame this failure on Jake the Snake. Yeah. Like Lance missed opportunities just because I failed to recognize my weaknesses and address them and the conflict resolution skills again, like the same thing that I knew that I didn't have the conflict resolution skills to be a cop.
Right.
I recognized that.
But
when I was
forward.
I did nothing about it. I've still not.
That's
I realize now I have to address things. Like I still do like to ignore bad things for a few days, but I'm like, nope, I have to address this. Yeah. Guess what usually happens? It works out.
It works out. There are ways of I think the thing with conflict resolution too is that it always, you know, like you assume it's going to be the worst.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's literally just like, oh, that was a misunderstanding, or I just, I forgot to do this, or that's my fault, or whatever. And
you
the other
can't tell tone of text.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Right. Like where you just kind of like, oh, okay, that was, I should have said something right away because it obviously was a mistake or a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. But obviously, that's not always the case. It can certainly go into more than that, which can, you know, certainly cause uncomfortable moments. But it's part of, you know, part of being human, though. Not everybody sees the same way. They can't all see out of each other's eyes like we do, right? So, but, you know, so.
Exactly. Yeah. So from like Lansdowne, I landed a job at community living.
Right. I was trying to think of what
I was working at both at the same time.
Right.
The thing with like human services, or I don't know what to call it anymore. Human services.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds.
Whatever I did.
Yeah.
So basically, when you're in that field, there's lots of opportunities to work at various, like, different.
Like they have the different homes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. There's different, like, organizations that help people with disabilities. So, and usually if you work at one, you have the opportunity to work at many, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah. You can kind of spread that around.
I ended up. One of my coworkers at Lansdowne in one of the day camps was a supervisor at community living.
Okay.
So she connected me there and I got a job at the one group home.
Yeah.
Again, no experience working in group homes, but I had the 2 years of like behavioral therapy stuff.
Was with older.
Yeah. It was an older
people.
Group of people, but I remember
so it was a little different, but you still kind of,
and I was single staff there. So I ended up, I remember my first day they left me alone. Like I had like three training shifts or nine hours of like orientation.
Yeah.
So you're good to like take
ready.
Care of these three people that
Make
don't
sure you
know you and
keep these people alive. And
yeah. So
safe.
My biggest concern was I didn't know what day the garbage went out. Like that's the way I thought. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't know what day garbage day is. Like I'm running. But anyways, my first day I show up and the other staff leaves. They're like, okay, you're on. Like I was on from 3 to 11.
Yeah.
Like I remember this. And the one person that lived there walked up. Oh, hey, Jim, my tummy doesn't feel too well. And the person puked all over me.
Oh gosh.
Like just covered me in puke and I'm like, well,
so
here I am. So that's the a lot of people that do that job, like the personal care work, there's a lot of burnout in it.
I could see that. Yeah. Because
of experiences like that. So there's a lot. I don't think like PSW's got enough like recognition about what they do and
the
timelines like that, like the pay is normally shit.
Yeah.
the hours suck because it's all like just part time, like overnights, yeah, like weird
covering weird
overnights
shit.
Are good because like normally you can sleep it's, or yeah, like sleep do sort whatever, of but yeah. You're not supposed to, but everyone does. But yeah, like it's just a burnout. So right from that day, like so. I went from working with kids to adults and getting
puked on
and then like just kind of growing and learning. And yeah, I just,
you did pretty well there too. You were there for a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. I was there for almost, I think eight years. I ended up working there and I never really fully committed because I was part-time and I enjoyed the part-time stuff and I picked up other like part-time work and I was always looking for ways to like better myself and like get a higher paying other part-time job. And I ended up working for a brain injury company.
Okay. Yeah.
Where I traveled and I got paid incredibly, but I failed at that because I just, conflict resolution. There's a lot of paperwork. And I did well, like I really did, like so I almost shot myself in the helping the people I was great at and everyone, like I still have a friend from that job today and she still talks about how I was the best employee she ever had.
Really good, like that side just of report, it was so
good. Yeah, it's just easy to,
it's just kind of that like whatever you call it, like the bureaucracy or like the, dealing
with that. And I am immature, so I always joked around
work
and like, so it's shitty because like the people that you care for enjoy someone that jokes around and has fun and pulls pranks on like everyone.
Right.
But management doesn't like that. They accept it because of the exceptional, like the quality
I was providing
people. So like
maybe
I got
the other way a little
and
bit.
I think that's kind of how I failed at that that I was just, I was too focused on like just living and not working. Like I didn't focus on it as a career.
Right.
I looked at it like, I'm it like, just, I get paid to live.
Yeah.
So like I went to WrestleMania in Texas.
Right, I remember that.
I've gone to Blue Jays games. I've gone to wrestling events and limousines, like, and all paid for. And you know, with people that I really enjoyed hanging out with, all I had to do is help them out. Like, sometimes people just need help counting their change.
Right. Yeah.
Like
just kind of being there.
That's
as
the
a,
support. It's just or assist. Like or like just like, you know, emotional support, like being there to reassure people like, hey, it's okay. Like
you can do this.
I'm,
or do you need
I'm
help
your friend.
Or,
I'm not a worker. I'm your friend.
I'm not here to like,
that's
put
the way
you down
I looked at it. Yeah. So maybe that was,
and that's cool to be able to go to like, you know, some of those events.
WrestleMania. That was something I always
like
wanted to do.
Yeah. And that's huge too. Yeah. Like
Texas.
Yeah. Big flight.
Flew
down
me
there
to Texas hotel room.
That's amazing.
Rental car, everything. Yeah,
the whole,
right. So opportunities that I just like, I had ideas that didn't fit in with the organization. Mm-hmm. And instead of like planning, I had sort of plans to do my own thing and I still work independently with one family.
Yeah.
But I could have grown that. And I had ideas to do things, but I never followed through.
Right.
So I like to say I've failed at that, even though I still do it.
You're still
and
doing
I,
it, but it's,
I do it more out of like, like I really have a good connection with the guy that I help out and spend some time with, and it's always fun, but
yeah, it could have been a bigger,
and like, I think deep down when you just want to like do things that are good for yourself,
right,
the community and your business, you're not going to fail. Like,
I think
people fail, businesses don't fail. So if you come up with a business idea, obviously it's something that's needed.
Right.
So it's up to the person to execute how that business is run and like acquiring clients and everything. So like I had every opportunity. Like I just never followed through with like checking with the government organizations that provided funding. Like, what do I need to start this? Because I had these and I had people that I worked with that had the same beliefs that I did. And we were all kind of stifled at not that community living ever like kept us from doing anything, but they had their, they had their focus and their mission.
Yeah. They have their business
and we have to go this way.
Yeah.
Like we're like on this started. Direction, right? And I'm like, well, why don't we do it this way? And it's like, well, no, we have a plan, right?
Yeah, this is our
That's why they're successful is because they have a plan. Yeah,
we've
and
been
they,
in business for so long because of the way we've stuck to our
plan. So, there's another missed opportunity on like how like it could have been something.
Right, yeah. That's
but I didn't take the time to follow up
some of those
more,
extra
right?
steps, right?
Just yeah, to, like, and make it and go. During community living, while I worked at community living, I started a family with Lauren, and then that's when we bought a house. So,
right,
Lauren and I learned, I don't know where I learned this, but the idea is that you buy the shittiest house in the nicest area.
Yeah,
and that's what Lauren and I did with that Kensington house.
Yeah,
and it paid off, right? And
yeah. Well, that's the, yeah, I mean, you guys, yeah, you redid a lot of the stuff inside.
And I learned, like, I never knew how to do plumbing or, like, the first day we were there, I had a shower and I flooded the basement.
Right.
Because the, like, just, like, being a new homeowner, everyone knows that your first, like, week or two, you find out everything. All the things hidden in the house.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's like, oh, so I learned really quickly how to do those things, but I feel like we did a good job on that, and we ended up turning that house into a rental. So during this time while I was at community living and working other places part-time, we were renovating, flipping a house, and that's just when the Brantford market started picking up and people started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I think it was we had... maybe it was my grandma's house. I think I had an opportunity to purchase.
That would have been
my grandma passed away, and she had a little house down in Eagle Place where we're from that I went to. And if it wasn't for that house, I would have never met you because I lived out of the area.
You're like an
so
Eagle Place
I went
guy,
to my grandma's every morning, and that's how I got to go to.
That's how we met because you ended up down in Eagle Place.
Bellevue. So, anyways. That opportunity came up, and Ryan and I always talk shit about like buying a rental property.
Yeah.
And finally we had an opportunity to like buy something and I knew the house and it was small enough that like
it's a good spot too.
It didn't cost a lot of money to like
you got in the right
everything.
Time to
we
like
got in at the right time. The price was still low.
Yeah.
And so we bought that and
Eagle Place wasn't as desirable.
No. And how we failed at that is we just didn't research like how to finance it and how to use the money, and we ended up we bought it and we ended up before we rented it out we did the flip to yourself sort of thing, so we have all the ideas, we just didn't have the knowledge,
like the know-how.
You have ideas but like there's ways to do it to save money, and we ended up doing it and flipping it. We made lots of money and everything, but we could have done it a totally different way to like keep the cost down, because there's a lot of admitting fees for what we did. So we went in, purchased it for one price, did a bunch of improvements, reappraised it, pulled the equity, redid the mortgage, and that ended up because we're like, oh, you lock into a 5-year term or what, blah blah blah. And I was just that kind of got me on the thing like. Oh man,
I should figure out that.
I should figure out how to do that, and I kind of half-assed did that. And then Lauren and I ended up buying another house together.
Yep.
Ken with the big pool and the deck and everything, and we turned Kensington, our first house, into a rental.
Into the rental, yeah.
And had a great great tenants in there and everything, and we. Bought Kent because we thought it was the shittiest house in a nice area.
Yeah.
And like it had a lot of work that had to be done.
Right.
And we just kind of took it on. And so all of a sudden I'm working part-time at community living, not really full-time anywhere. Mm-hmm. Haven't had a full-time job since I worked at Toyota when I was like 22,
years,
24 maybe was the last
legit
Lansdowne. I had the contract to do the behavioral therapy, but anyways, so I had a mashup of different jobs that paid me enough to be able to have a mortgage. Anyways, we bought that, and again, still didn't have all the knowledge as far as like how to finance it right. properly. Like we yeah. had the equity, we used equity in some of our own money and everything. Just yeah. didn't understand like
it's a lot of ins and outs with like yeah, the, ways the, of doing this.
There's a
like
way to do it to like yeah. save money and
how do people
we yeah. could have kept going, but we didn't have the access to the funds, like because yep. it's like, oh, we're locked into a long term, like right. yeah. we gotta wait 4 more years or else it's gonna cost it.
Yeah, you're gonna be paying penalties and all
that. Yeah, so right. I guess kind of failed at that because I could have grown. We yeah. had an opportunity to, like, especially after my grandmother's house when Ryan and I flipped it to ourselves and we pulled out. We ended up in, I think, like 6 weeks, we ended up making $50,000.
Oh, yeah.
On that property. Like, I mean, we mortgaged just, it. Yeah. So, like,
so you're able to get
but
that. Yeah.
It was still, we got a deal on it, whatnot, yep. but houses down there weren't that much more expensive than what we paid. Yeah. So like yeah. when we flipped to ourselves at my grandma's house and made that 50, instead of being smart with the money and like taking that 50 and putting it on
another house
the neighbor. So a house 2 doors down
oh.
was up for sale.
Right.
And it sold for $10,000 more than what we had paid for. So we already had 50.
And
like
you had made that.
We had enough. Yeah. Right. We had enough money. To buy another house and yeah. we just didn't.
Yeah.
And I bought that white truck.
Right. That
and Ryan, was... I don't know what Ryan did with his money, but we yeah. always talk about like if we were smart.
Yeah, that missed opportunity, you know, so, where you could have made that.
So and like
I think what houses are going for now.
Yeah, well, since then, like, we've sold everything. Mm-hmm. And like I just the Kensington house went really well and it was just I didn't like everything, like taking on everything. So right. during that time, so we had 3 houses, just had our first kid.
Yep.
I worked part-time at community living, part-time somewhere else, part-time yeah. at another. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I should start a property maintenance company because like,
I'm
hey,
taking care of
I've,
properties.
I've, yeah. And, yeah. and I cut the grass at my house and my rental property and yeah. my other rental property. And yes. I know how to change a toilet.
This segment has been brought to you by...
You called the rest. They didn't call back. That's where Jim Hladish Broke Home Repair comes in. We pride ourselves on being the ones you call when you're just about ready to give up. And when your faucet still leaks or those shingles come loose again, remember, we were your last choice. Jim Hladish Broke Home Repair.
I know how to, like,
I know somebody could make me a
black,
business card.
Black to gold yeah. for your electrical, right? The yeah. black wire goes to gold, white to silver.
Right.
Black to gold, white to silver. I'm like, I can
I
do
can
anything.
Do this. This is easy.
And so I'm like, oh, I'll start a property maintenance guy. And so I contacted realtors and I had a business card made yeah. up, you know, property yeah. management. You made that for me. Yeah. And like, I was just like, yeah, I can do it. And right away, because I was actively looking for other properties. Yep. I just didn't know how to come up with the money
the
for
cash.
Them.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
yeah.
I want to look at all these places and understand it. So yep. I guess I was doing that right.
Mm-hmm.
And the realtor I was using, I'm like, hey, yeah, I started a property management and company. And she yeah. had seen the work that I had done on the other properties yeah. and was like, oh, okay.
Let me.
Yeah. So she set me up with people, set me up with a guy
yep.
That owned a lot of properties. So
yeah.
immediately I went from like just like some guy with a business card to like I had a legit, I had a truck and I had a couple
yeah.
tools that I had bought.
Stuff, yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, nice. So she set me up with a guy that owned, I think like 12, 14 units. And he just trusted me with everything. Just,
here you go. Here's the keys.
He did his he collected rents and everything. He did that part.
Yeah.
But he's like, hey, like, here's the budget every month.
Yeah.
You bill me. Like, we worked out a price. I'm like, I'm happy with this amount. And
yeah.
he was happy. Like, it was good.
Jeez.
And then bigger projects were coming up. And instead of, like, that conflict resolution, like,
right.
I can't redo your bathroom. Like, when I talk about redoing the bathroom, I mean, like, painting,
like it's like
new
a legit
vanity,
remodel, yeah,
new tub, like, tub rip-out.
Yeah,
I did a whole bathroom in one day.
Yeah.
Like, by myself, like, redoing all the plumbing. It all worked and everything.
Right.
It was just, at one point, I stressed out.
would have stressed out
when
that too.
I opened up the plumbing and the like the shower head connection. I don't even know what any of these things are called. I just bring the parts to the hardware store.
This
and
matches
like,
this.
I need to connect this to this. What do I need?
Right, yeah.
And then the guys usually show me what to do. And then like I YouTube stuff and I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay, let's try that.
So I had like this like crazy like panic attack where like everything just went blank.
Yeah.
And like I ran out of the bathroom and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what
I'm in
that?
Over my head. I had everything ripped out. And I'm like, I just destroyed this bathroom. Oh my God. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh shit. And I remember I called Ryan. I'm like, Ryan, you got to get here, man. Yeah.
You got some know-how.
Shit's fucked up. Shit's fucked up.
Yeah.
And he came. And so he was in Brantford and I was in Paris at this rental property. And so that's about what, like a 14, I call it the 13 minute drive.
Yeah.
If I'm ever going to Paris, I'm like, I'll be there in 13
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, it's about that.
So he was about 14. So during that time from when he got off the phone and like got out there,
yeah.
I had already gone to the hardware store, got the part that I needed, came back, hooked it all up and put it back together. But
you needed that
when
light.
That moment happened, I was like, oh, I'm not a property management guy.
Yeah.
Like I can't do this shit.
Yeah, this is
and instead of like, so I'm in good. I had... And this guy wanted to buy more properties and
right.
he wanted to expand and he wanted me. He's like, this is a beautiful relationship. And he just liked me because like a lot of most of the stuff that I did, I just cut grass and like garden
some
for him.
Basic,
like,
yeah.
And I just, you know, had that moment and it was a conflict or it was like a stressor in life. And I, instead of realizing like, oh, hey, fuck, we own three houses.
Right.
I have a kid.
Yeah.
Like a new baby.
Yeah, like she was.
And I'm doing something I have no... I shouldn't have ever done that stuff. Like,
right.
I shouldn't have ever put myself in the situation.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to, like, make money and work for myself because I recognized at, like, community living, the job that I was really good at.
Right.
I recognized that it wasn't the right fit for me.
Right.
And instead of like learning more or putting the work in and like doing the research that I needed to start my own stuff,
do your own
I was looking for something else. Right.
Just something
so I,
like
something I'm
change.
Awesome at.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I could walk into any.
Yeah.
I did a couple of years ago. I went on job interviews and got like jobs at like a bunch of different agencies around here for like PSW stuff or like what I was doing before support worker stuff.
Yeah.
And, but I just kind of lost, like, I'm like, I don't want to work for another agency. Like I have my own ideas on
how
you should support, how to properly support people.
Right.
And it doesn't match up with anything else. So,
yeah.
But what was I saying? Oh yeah. So the stress and the panic attack and instead of like bettering myself, I just walked away.
Just,
I'm like, I walked away the worst possible way. I
just
brought the guy's keys back, finished all the jobs that I had and just gave the guy his stuff back and was like, I'm just done. And instead of talking to him and being like, fuck man, like that was a lot, that really stressed me out. Like maybe next time we got to plan better. And I can't do that all in one day. Like I need a week for this job, you know,
like more time, or like more body, like an extra person or like,
like it's going to cost you a little more and he would have been fine, but I couldn't deal with that because it was like, I thought that was a failure on my part.
Right.
And the only thing I failed at was that I didn't ask for more help.
Yeah. Just
and
sort
I
of
didn't
like putting
say,
yourself into that. Like, again, it's a bit of an awkward asking. Nobody wants, not nobody, but asking for help is never, especially when you feel like you maybe you've like, you know, you've given this guy the impression that you're, I could do this.
Oh yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Like,
I definitely
I
sold myself. I'm a good salesperson.
That
that's
right?
what I know. And, and like, I always knew like all I need is something to sell and I can sell it because like, and I think it's like, it's not like, it's how long you can do something.
Right.
And the more time you're in something, the better you're going to get.
Yeah.
So like after the failure at this property management company and just walking away, like failing at it and walking away, I had the opportunity to improve and take course. I could have went to Mohawk and took like a carpentry, all these basic like courses that all these colleges offered.
Yeah, like those day
instead
courses
of investing in myself, right. I didn't. I just walked away. I'm like, wow, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, from there, what did I do after that? Like, I fell back into community living. So that put me in this like little spiral of like, I was falling back, and I'm like, I'm never going to get anywhere.
Yep.
And instead of doing anything about it,
yep.
I just was like, this is my life. This sucks. And
right.
Lauren wasn't really happy with me because like she didn't, I was a bit of a dick, and like, I was just really unhappy. And like, I'm like, I'm going to be like wiping asses the rest of my life. Like, I want to do more for people than just wipe their ass.
Yeah,
like, it's very important.
I thought that
I could offer more than just personal care. Like, it's like, I think I can help you. Like, I wanted to help a guy start a business, but you know, it was just weird stuff that I was like, I got burnt out and ended up, out of pure luck, I got a really crazy job opportunity. As a support worker, like as a, what do you call it? I can't even think right now. So it was working with people with, like mental health issues as well as drug problems.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll think of it later. I can't think of it now. Yeah. It's like, there's some like cool term that would have made me sound really smart and know what I'm talking about. I forgot it. Anyways, I was given this job opportunity, and it was to like develop this new program.
Right.
It was a pilot program that was funded through the government.
Yeah.
And it just never took off. And I got out and I got to meet a lot of people, and I went out to, so it was basically, I was a community liaison working for people with mental health and drug addictions. And like, I was going to work with outpatients at the hospital and connecting them with all the services in
like
town.
Here's what you need.
And then the program just kind of, it just didn't start because it's a pilot program.
Right.
And like,
they're trying this out.
Yeah. So instead of like, you know, focusing on that, I was already burnt out from community living. And then I was seeing that this was going nowhere. I took the job because it was like,
well,
it's a change,
like a full-time sort of a deal,
and it's going to grow. Like,
it's kind of
similar, they want to roll this program out. And, but little did I know, the government gives out tons of money to have all these pilot programs, and only certain programs work. And usually by the time they're funded, they know what they want.
So like, once that money kind of runs out,
it's done. So during that time, I was like, oh, you know what really pissed me off? All those guys that didn't help me with my mortgage.
Yeah.
All those things. I didn't know how to access all this money. And since then, I had learned
there.
So much about like lending and everything. Yeah. Right. And I was like more educated.
Yeah.
But I had like zero risk tolerance because of all the stress that I was having.
Right.
And I was still managing those properties when I had this other job. So anyways, I'm working at working for this pilot program, and I'm like, I have some free time. I'm going to improve myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a mortgage broker. I studied, I got the online book, and I logged into my website thing, and I did all the tests and everything. It was basically like 30 hours of work that I did.
Right.
And I read a book. I read a whole textbook, like front to back.
I don't think I've ever really done that. So.
A textbook. Yeah, I've read books and everything.
Yeah,
I think
like
reading is important. I should do more of it, but I feel like I just get my information through like audio stuff. Like I listen to a lot of books and
like watch those unrapping toy videos
YouTube. Yeah.
And stuff.
I listen to unwrapping toy videos. I don't
watch
them.
The video.
No,
you just put it on.
Yeah. But, so I became
you listen to people playing Roblox. On
YouTube. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Hey,
he sounds like he's having fun.
Oh, I got a pizza place now. So dad, can I have $20 for, I want to buy glass. I asked Eloise the other day, speaking of Roblox, she wants Robux. And I'm like, well, what are Robux? So we looked at them, and it's the online currency for Roblox.
Kid
and it's like,
currency.
Yeah. So it's like $20 and you get like
you can
200 Robux.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, okay. And like, she's been really good with our new dog. She's like taking on a lot of the responsibility, like feeding, cleaning up the shit, which is awesome. Yeah. So I see her out there scooping the poop. So I'm like, whoa, okay.
Sure.
So I'm like, I really need to reward her for that because that's good behavior. Like, we didn't even ask her to do that. She's just like, she loves the dog and she's taking care of it. That's her dog she takes care of.
Yep.
So I'm like, yeah, I'll get you some Robux. And then I'm like, what would you buy with those? And she's showing me everything. And it's like a pair of glasses for Avatar.
Right.
Would cost like $20. I'm like, you could get a real toy for for like $20. Like,
$20 and you could go to the toy store.
So yeah, I'm hoping that that kind of
that's a lot of money.
Might have to accident.
You can upgrade your Avatar.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I'm like, it's like some of her friends are on there, so it's like her cousin sent a couple of her friends. Yeah.
Claire, I think,
there.
Was playing it a while too.
Yeah.
Like she, but then it kind of.
Yeah, I think Claire and Eloise are friends on Roblox or whatever.
Her tablet was too slow for it or something.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to slow down our tablet for Eloise. It's good, but it's a good way because she gets to talk to her friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know, playing video games is normal. We played video games, right?
Yeah,
a lot of time. So.
Oh, yeah. We didn't like in person side by side mostly, not online, but yeah.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. But. Mortgages, like I did that, got my license, drove up to Toronto one day. Yeah. Like I studied, I did all the practice exams. I'm like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Went up, wrote the test.
This segment has been brought to you by
debt causing you stress. Get a high risk, huge interest loan from Jim Hladish Loan Services. At Jim Hladish Loan Services, we believe bigger is better. Bigger rates, higher risk. Stop searching and act right now. Jim Hladish Loan Services.
Oh, perfect example. The day of the test, I went into a pub that was below the testing place.
Right.
Because I got there early. I'm like, I'll grab lunch and I'll have a beer.
Yeah.
And the beer tasted like shit. I just didn't drink it.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, you don't want your beer? I'm like, no. And he's like, what's wrong with it? I'm like, oh, nothing. I just don't want it.
Brush it off.
Conflict resolution skills.
Tastes
like shit, man.
Yeah.
And I paid for a full fucking beer because I didn't want to make the guy feel bad.
Right. Like
but
somehow he
if I told him, he would have been like, oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
And it was like early afternoon. I was the only customer in there. He's like, I would have saved him, right? Like
the next customer.
And he would have given me a free beer.
The next customer wouldn't have had a shitty beer, too.
Yeah,
the next
guy
probably came in and got a free lunch because he complained or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, just another example of, like, what's wrong with me and what I need to do to improve. But, yeah, I got my thing, and I had already been in contact with brokerage, like, that I found out about because I was getting into, like, some lending stuff, like, private lending stuff. I learned about that. I know some people that do it, and...
Yeah,
I learned more about it because I was like, this is what we're in and blah, blah, blah. So I became a broker, worked for a brokerage, was really replaced all my income and had so much more flexibility and freedom. But the stress was there.
Yeah.
And it was more because I was I recognized really early on that I didn't like the job because. I cared too much about the people I want.
Yeah. Well,
I got into it because I wanted to help people.
Right. It's back to helping people. Basically,
yeah.
Where it's like, you know, you want to help these people, but if they can't be helped.
Yeah.
In a positive.
Yeah.
Way, maybe?
A lot of things like I did a lot of things early on where it was like, oh, okay. I figured out ways to help people restructure debt and whatnot. And I felt really good. And I'm like, I'll be a debt counselor. I'll do this. Like, this is awesome. And then like, I realized really quickly that life happened and without like just doing something one time and not teaching someone something like there's a lot to helping people with debt and that coming to a broker, like all I did was free up their cash flow to borrow more money.
Right. Yeah.
So like I learned right away that like it wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
You're not, like, fixing
and then I stressed too much about other people's stuff. Like, so this one person, their closing date was like, it was like 3 weeks or something. And I'm oh my God. And
yeah,
there were so many like, things,
conditions
that were variables. Like impossible. Yeah. Anyways, this person is the person that I'm like, okay, I'm walking away. Instead of changing my attitude and like not giving a fuck about people that don't do all I was doing was like helping people find other lenders, like different banks, like a mortgage broker isn't like out to get you. A mortgage broker is just like the guy at the bank. It's just a mortgage broker needs kind of like all the same. Yeah. A mortgage broker needs all the same documents. Your bank needs the same info, but a broker doesn't have access to your account to just print it. So your broker has to ask you for that shit.
Right.
So many people are like, oh,
can't you just see that?
I go, or if, what are you talking about? I make $100,000, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, do you pay your bill? Like, when you borrow money, you're borrowing money. Like when you buy a house, you don't own this house.
Right.
You borrowed money. The bank, owns
the house.
You're paying the bank back. You get to live here. Like you have ownership.
Right.
But like in the end, if you don't pay your bill, it's the bank's property. Right. So many people with like some of the bigger banks that I worked with, like this bank called First National. Well, or like RMG, they're actually owned by like BMO. It's just another division of Bank of Montreal or something like that. There's it's like banks have so much money. I don't understand them, but,
and I mean, you think about, just the amount of money that we're all paying it back into them.
Like, so there was a lot of things like in brokering that I could have done better. Like, but I learned a lot and that's where I met Thor.
Yeah.
And
you also could have charged your friends for some of your mortgage advice too, like me. But
oh no,
no, I appreciate
you can do it this way. Like, it was like that's what I want to do, but it was so hard. Like selling a mortgage is hard because not everyone wants to talk to you about their finances. Right. Like,
it's a lot of
too many people are embarrassed. But it's like, fuck, you know how many people are in the same spot and have debt and are like, I don't know, you know, I got this. It's like, who
cares?
There's
not very many people in the world that are like, they just, like, money's not, it's not like a problem for them. Like, there's those, like, you know, billionaires and like then millionaires. Some people, I don't know. I feel like there's more
those
of us
people,
that are just kind of in that,
just,
that
there's
range.
So many people and, and a lot of like, it's not that people don't work. Like, there's a lot of jobs out there that just don't pay. Like, I remember helping a family. I remember helping a family where the dad worked like two jobs and had a like two full-time jobs. He worked every weekend.
Yeah.
All through the week. Like,
just
then he had like a job where he was on a contract where he would get like 5 hours a month or something.
Just like the extra.
And he still made less than, you know,
that's insane
what other people make. So it's like,
and so he's just struggling through.
Always
at work.
Yeah. Everyone's straight. Yeah. Like, so don't be afraid to talk to a broker, but also always be skeptical of people when it comes to financing like that. Cause there are ways that you can get in situations where, you're like, not everyone cares. More people care about the money, like getting paid.
Well,
like
right,
you get paid really well as a broker.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that I'm like, oh, if I do this, I can help people win.
Get paid.
Get paid. That's a win. Like, make more money that I've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Win.
Right.
And, you know, maybe it's good for me because I'm not burnt out from
You're not like
the personal care stuff. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, I did that and quickly found out I didn't like it. And then it was, like, 2019 and the housing market was starting to dry up.
Oh, okay.
And so we weren't busy. And Thor and I had a lot of time to talk about, like,
just
how can we start businesses and, like, what could we sell? Yeah.
What are your dreams?
What can we sell? Because we both sold stuff.
Yeah, you're a
ball. And it's like,
well, sales,
you know, mortgages are hard because you only sell them.
Yeah,
you get a customer, but it's like, they don't come back for 5 years.
Right.
So we're like, what could we do that
something in the
people
meantime,
comes back?
Or,
and then
to...
and he had always been into like roasting coffee and like he'd do it on like popcorn makers and frying pans. Like
he'd, trying different things. He'd
find places to like buy green coffee beans and do it. So he already had this idea years ago, I guess, right, to do it. And he always roasted his own coffee. And then we, all the time that we spent at the office, instead of like improving that business and improving ourselves and me learning how to deal with like the stress of like,
how do I handle stress?
Instead of that, we just focused on like the next thing.
Right.
And thankfully the next thing turned out to be what we all wanted to do. And
Like that business that you're helping
the
community, you're able to help the community, like, you're selling a good product.
And I told Lauren with like the brokerage stuff, I'm like, it's just a matter of time before it takes off. Like it's the time in the game.
Right.
So, and I just needed time, and I was starting to get people and like referrals and stuff. Yeah, and sometimes things didn't work out and it didn't matter because I was still just trying to help and still doing a good job. So, So instead of working on what I was doing, I found something else to go to. Like, what's it called? George of the Jungle, where it's like, you don't let go of the vine you're swinging on until you grab the next thing. And then, So,
make sure you have something to,
Another
thing in place before you let go. Yeah.
And I think that's like, you might think it's safe, but I think it like hinders you. And I don't know.
But
so we just sat around talking and then we came up with the idea of like Altitude Coffee Roasters. Or we came up with selling coffee. We're like, everyone loves coffee. And he's from Germany, but he, when he immigrated to Canada like 28 years ago, they lived in Ottawa and there's a big roaster up there, like a specialty coffee roaster.
Yeah. Just and so, spoke to him.
And he's like, well, think of the population, how many people. So we did the, we did so much market research and everything before we did this.
There's
and then
planning right there.
and we had our mission plan. We're like, we're going to be, all our products are going to be compostable. That's the way the world's going. We'll pay more already. We'll start. And we, it's like, we'll support local as much as we can. And like, we're going to sell coffee and who are we going to sell it to? And how are we going to sell? Oh, we're going to go to markets and we'll do school fundraisers. And it just worked out. And then, you know, the name Altitude, Lauren came up with that name.
Really? We're sitting around.
Because Altitude, like coffee's grown at different altitudes and different levels. And she's like, why don't you call it that? And then Thor made the logo, a simple logo. And
I remember when it started and it just sort of was like, wait, hold on a second. Like, you know, coffee business. I don't know.
What's he doing now?
Like,
what's this jackass doing now? I guarantee you everyone thought, oh, fuck, Ryan's involved now. What are these guys doing? Oh, gee. Oh, man. They're roasting coffee in their basements. Yeah. And we started there. The first thing we ever did was a school fundraiser at Greenbrier.
Yeah.
And we all roasted coffee at Thor's place. He had a garage.
Yeah.
And we had all these like these little tiny roasters that roasted like one bag of coffee per roast. We roasted 50 bags.
Wow.
It took us 55 hours to roast the coffee and we didn't have a commercial grinder.
Right.
So instead of just having whole bean coffee, that normal specialty roaster, we're like, oh, we'll grind coffee too. So we had a whole bean and ground. But we had these like home grinders that we ground everything up in that the motors burned out. So we had to throw them in his chest freezer. So like it took us like a week and a half to make 50 bags of coffee.
Right. How long does that take now?
50 bags takes us about 15 minutes. Now. So So we did that. And of course, everyone like supported us. Like everyone just came and.
Well, you start. Well, I mean, you know,
enough of our friends. Enough of our friends were there that came in, and then enough people liked our whole idea. Like because we had planned. Like we planned. What are our values? Right. Giving back to the environment. Yeah, all our packaging's compostable. Like it might look a little cheap and everything, but throw it on your front lawn. That's what I always said. I'm like, when you're done, just throw it out your kitchen window. Like,
you finally litter and feel okay.
Yeah. And so like we talk and the big thing for me, I'm like, we have to make sure we give back. We have to, like
the charity side of it and helping people.
And so right away we started donating coffee to this mental health program in Brantford. And I personally donated like $700 to run an event at Lansdowne. I'm like, oh yeah, it's coming from Altitude, but it was like my own money and it got our logo there. Yeah. And at that time, so we realized really quickly that in order to sell coffee, we can't roast it in our friend's garage on little machines. So we got connected with a roaster up in Toronto who's actually like, certified by the Specialty Coffee Association of the world. I don't know. They're this big, this big like organization that's a certification organization.
Right.
Yeah. So we met her. We were taking roasting courses and everything through her. And then we're like, hey, do you ever like roast coffee for other people? So at that time, so from the time we did the Lansdowne, or sorry, the Greenbrier fundraiser garage sale day. Within 2 months, we ended up buying like a $15,000 coffee roaster.
Wow.
But we just had nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
We went to Nova Scotia and we bought a $6,000 coffee roaster and had nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
And on the way back, we were looking at Google for other roasters, and we found the Big Red machine that we have now for 15. So we spent like $21,000 on roasters and had nowhere to put
them.
So we're like, well, we got the roasters now. And everyone's like, oh, they're too big. You don't need them. And we're like, ah, we got a good deal on them. Yeah. And we ended up contacting because we're like, we lined up all kinds of events because it's like, well, we have the roasters now and we bought a big grinder we ended up just connecting with someone that could roast until we got our facility. So Thor and his wife always wanted to be like homesteaders and they always wanted a rural property, so they ended up buying a farm with an outbuilding. And they had Ryan and I come out and wanted us to
approve
or help them and just whatever. So we ended up getting the location. But until then, we had like an actual licensed place roast and help us package. So that helped us grow.
Mm-hmm.
So we recognize I think Altitude's the real story where I'm like starting to succeed and I'm changing and I'm seeing my weaknesses and I'm improving, and there's like skills that I'm actually like, there's stuff I can't do and the stuff I can't do right now, I subcontract out that work.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm kind of interested in learning. Like we're lucky because Thor can do a lot of the, like Thor does all the web stuff and like a lot of the, like the e-commerce stuff for it.
Yeah.
He does everything.
He does some of
the photos for the website and everything. And like the stuff we don't know what to do, we've made it that network.
Like,
we have a really good network. Like we have some advertising friends, design friends now.
It's good
that
to say, like, it's good to know
we've
people.
Made through coffee. Yeah. So, but there are things that we're learning how to do. And
well, you have to in order to succeed.
And So Altitude started with an idea, but the whole thing why I believe it's successful is because we actually plan for it. I plan my weeks now. I know what I'm doing for the week.
That's smart.
And we have a full year plan. Like we know what we're doing the rest of this year. Even when COVID happened, like we're very fortunate that Thor bought the property because we don't pay rent.
Right.
Like,
yeah, you've got
but
a space
we've made the improve the idea was that the business makes the improvements on the outbuilding. So we've put like $50,000 into this space, but that's money that we generated through sales.
Yeah,
so
that's amazing too.
So like,
and now that the space is better, it's going to help.
Yeah, and we've already grown like we outgrew the first space, and then we got into Like microgreens. Thor was like telling us about microgreens and how cafes and restaurants use it. So we're like, well, let's do that. And so Ryan and I went out right away before we had anything and sold them to people. And we're like, well, there's enough people that want them. So we built the expansion and we're getting into that eventually. Like once our cafe opened, our focus more for the microgreen stuff is for the servicing cafes and that.
Yeah,
we've planned and we put a lot of thought into what we're doing and we have so much to do, and it's stressful right now. Time management's really crazy, and like I like to try to use that excuse like, oh, like I have no time, but I have the same amount of time every day that you do.
Yeah.
We have the same amount of time as
everybody.
Everyone in the world has 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you sleep so much, and then you get the rest to do.
But like, you know, Jeff Bezos has the same amount of time that you and I have. Elon Musk has it. And you surround yourself with people that know what they're doing.
Right.
So, and unfortunately, Thor, Ryan, and myself are the same guys, but different with different skill sets.
Different skill
we all have anxiety and we all worry about stuff and overthink and have a hard time dealing with like conflicts and that,
okay,
but we all recognize that and we all, but we're a team.
As a team, you can handle these.
Yeah. So
I was going to say, it just took the right people.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the right place at the right time to kind of make this.
Yeah. So like,
business
Yeah. And so, yeah, my whole thing with like, yeah, you can fail at like jobs and businesses, but like starting a business, but you really have to just look at what you're doing wrong. And if I'm a big fan, if you don't like it and you're not passionate about it, unless you're disciplined, like Uncle Bag, like Tyler, and you're just hard as fuck. And it's like,
this is
my job. And this is what I do.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Move on, like unless you have the discipline to do it, and you're like, their benefit, like working where he works, obviously, like everyone, it's no secret. Toyota pays people that have been there. I know it's different for new people now, but it's a good place to work. I remember when I got the job there, everyone I knew was like, oh, you're set for life, right? And and there's, if you use it properly, right?
If you manage it and you can handle that stress and the different things
so
that come
like
along with it.
don't do things you hate, but also recognize like what went wrong, like what are the problems, and then like don't be, use that Viking method where it's like, were we talking about, no, this isn't, that's not recorded. So my good friend Sandeep, shout out to Sandeep, he's my financial advisor, he's actually really smart with investments and everything.
Yeah,
so anyways, another good person to surround yourself with, right? But he likes to call like his business methods the Viking method. Like he jokes around a lot and it's a joke, but he's like, you just got to keep running. Like if you fall down, you get up and keep charging forward.
Right.
And like being strong and everything. And and part of that is like, how do you become a strong Viking? Like Vikings were probably naturally like huge, but I'm sure they worked out or
like,
something, right? Like
they made their way around the
they
world.
They had sword skills and everything, right?
Yeah.
So I put the work in and just move forward, constantly move forward. And or another analogy I like to use is like, who has the best batting average in baseball?
Yeah.
Like what is it like? 350 like what's the best career average?
Well, like Ted Williams was like a 400 hitter, like I think he was the last one to hit 400 or something like that.
Yeah,
too.
So 400 in a season.
Ty Cobb's your best one though. I think he was like a career like 380 or 390.
Okay, we'll have to get a fact checker eventually. Jamie, pull that up for us.
Can we get the research on
can we get that guy from
Clara
Joe Rogan to Clara, pull that up for us. But so think of the, so 400 average is the best average.
Yeah.
Like that's been recorded or whatever. Say it's 425. Yeah. Whatever it is, my whole point is that guy struck out 6 times.
Yeah. 6 out of 10 times.
6 out of 10 times he failed.
Yeah.
But 4 times.
Yeah. He's getting paid the big bucks cuz he got
That's the greatest hitter.
Yeah. 4 out of 10 times.
The best average hitter, right?
Yeah.
The greatest hitter was Pete Rose, but he had that long. It was time in the game,
time,
right?
Yeah.
He most played hits, a lot of games, still, most
how
hits.
How many at-bats did he have compared? Like his average would have... He probably was a 300 hitter too.
Yeah.
3 out of 10.
Yeah, so 300. Yeah.
Yeah.
But most guys in the majors are like 200.
Yeah. 250.
And they're professionals.
Get paid millions of
right?
dollars.
So they strike out or they fly out or they ground out 8 out of 10 times. So don't be afraid. Like, take
fall,
the at bat.
Yeah. If
you strike out, go back up and like swing away at the next one.
Adjust your swing.
Yeah.
Learn
yeah.
From
work
it.
Out. Yeah, yeah. Learn. Like, you can't hit a curveball. Well, what do you practice? Curveballs, right? Like, I'm bad with conflict resolution.
That's
what do I have to do? I have to work on that, right? Yeah. Like, there's things I have to address that.
Yeah.
I'm lucky because my team, like, we all suck at hitting that.
That curveball.
But we all recognize that and we're all working on it. And there's different things that we're doing.
Some things, you know, like you say, working together as a team, you can manage
those
things
so much
better
easier.
Because there's three heads.
Oh, when Ryan and I go out for sales calls, even with Thor, it's so much easier having two people and you walk in.
Yeah.
And we've learned already, like, what to do when we walk in to, like, a cold call on a cafe or a store.
Right.
And, like, we've invested in the company and the things that we need to make ourselves stand out.
Yeah.
So we're going to grow this business and we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
And
I know,
if not,
been impressed with where you guys, like, just, you know, when it started, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's he doing?
He's wasting time.
Let's see how long this lasts kind of a thing. Yeah. So, like, you know, I have altitude shirts and, I mean,
You're not a coffee drinker.
Yeah, I'm not a coffee drinker. I mean,
you'll come for a homemade pop at the cafe. Yeah, we're going to have homemade fizz beverages and everything.
Like,
so take the at bat.
I know a lot of coffee drinkers, though.
Yeah.
I know I've pointed a lot
of
people in your direction.
Yeah, we got a lot of.
I trust and believe in what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And I see the successes that you guys are having. And, like, I love what you guys are doing with, you know, like with the community and stuff too. It's nice to see.
So just don't be afraid to fail. That's our podcast. How to fail at everything and still succeed. So we could still fail at this, right?
Certainly possible.
But if we don't, like, but now instead of, like, walking away or avoiding things, I address them.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm not afraid. Like,
Remember
I said earlier, like, businesses don't fail, people fail.
Right.
And it's like, I just got to make sure I'm the right person in the business that I'm doing. The person I need to be for that business.
For that business to make.
And I enjoy what I do. Like,
we
were out, I roasted coffee till 3 o'clock in the morning the other day. Like, it sucked, but, like, it had to be done.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I didn't. Like,
you know, this coffee's going to somebody that's going to be like, here's
and it's an opportunity. This. Yeah, it's an opportunity to live the life that I want. I want the freedom and the flexibility. So,
totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that ended up being a really good first show about, like.
I didn't think we'd end up talking this long, but here we are. It's been great. It's kind of nice to end on positive upswing.
Yeah, just like we'll keep going.
We'll get some people in and talk to them about their
about business
and the
whole idea would be to, like, again to, like, promote our friends and help them out. We have a lot of cool friends
that do a lot
of really interesting things and have good perspectives,
different ideas on how to, you know, and then how to make a business or how to make an idea or how to, you know, do what they're doing and how they got to be successful at what they're doing.
Yep.
So.
Yep. No, I think that's good.
More about stuff. So.
Yeah. We can. We'll talk about. I don't know. We can probably talk about relation. Maybe we'll leave that one for the end because that's kind of dicey. Maybe.
Yeah. We could.
Might be hard to open up about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, we could talk to our friends about relationships too.
Sure.
Just share our parenting. Maybe parenting is an easier one.
There's a lot of
relationships too. Like, there's a lot of ways I know relationships fail.
And
whatnot. But
no, I think we've got to
talk about money.
Yeah, money.
What else do we want to talk about? Money.
We had a list. We should have brought
relationships.
Relationships.
Money. Music. I was gonna talk about my music career.
Yeah.
And, like, just, I don't know, sports.
Sports, right?
We can talk about that. Like,
there's a lot of
had a couple things. Like, there's a lot we can talk about and how to fail at it, but still
but then
succeed.
Find your way back to the succeeding. And,
I think deep down it just comes back to, like, self-reflection.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to do anything, like, and you suck at it or you don't enjoy it, it's like, well, what part of it don't you enjoy?
Right.
What is it that's
driving you to want to do that? Or
So analyze like what, why you started it in the first, there's a reason why you're there and what don't you like?
Right.
And like, why don't you like it? Like, what is it? Like,
and like, if it's something you want to stick with, like, what do you need to do to, you know, kind of get past that hump there, that, that roadblock. So we got, we're at an hour and 45 minutes
Holy shit. Yeah. All right.
Maybe wrap this one up. All right. In episode one, maybe we break it into a few parts. I don't know what we want.
I don't know. We'll throw in some commercials. Yeah.
How to fail at everything and still succeed has actually been brought to you by
the idea behind Altitude Coffee Roasters, formed through an intense passion for coffee and a desire to create something of the highest quality. We're a dedicated team of coffee connoisseurs, proud to be working locally within our community. We're adventurers and experimenters, roasting fresh coffee and elevating your coffee since 2019. AltitudeCoffee.ca.
We'll see what we get up with and where we end
Let's
up.
Make
with
some
this,
commercials.
I hope everybody out there listening enjoys it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be afraid. Like, I got
smash that subscribe button below. No,
hit the subscribe button.
Like and share.
Yeah,
yeah. Let us know what you want to hear about, even too. If there's other things that we maybe discussed or touched on, or something we didn't that you want to hear about.
Story, like you want us to elaborate on funny stories or something. Like there's,
this is where we're starting. We'll see where this thing goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah. I'm Matt Oderson.
I'm Jim Haladish.
And this is
How to Fail at Everything and Still Succeed.
All right. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace.
How to Fail at Everything and Still Succeed has been recorded live in the Dusty Dungeon in Paris, Ontario. Starring Jim Haladish and Matt Oderson, and a special thanks to Derek Palango.